Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like. All right, well, folks, we've got another new guest on the show today, and I can't do it justice. This guy has worked for Logos Software. That's the Bible software. Yes, I have actually used it some in the past, and so I'm very familiar with it. It's great. It's awesome. I think he worked there for about 20, 25 years. We'll just say 20 plus years. He has an incredible background in walking in Christian ministry, and I'm going to let him talk more about that as we get going here. But his name is spelled, it's Bill, and it's N-I-E-N-H-U-I-S, but it is Nienhaus.
That's right.
Is how we're going. Exactly. See, he's already chiming in. It's Bill Nienhaus. So, Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I really appreciate the time today.
Bet. Well, hey, it is great to have you here, Bill. And, you know, as our audience knows, when you're a first-time guest on the show, they know the first question and they want to get to know you. So, Bill, tell us about your story. How has God influenced and shaped your journey?
Well, I don't have an exciting story. There was no lightning bolt out of the sky. There was no huge, massive tragedy. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian home. My parents made sure I was in church every Sunday. And then, of course, we had Wednesday midweek things at church, and I was involved in those, and vacation Bible school, and you name it, I was a part of it. And although I didn't have really a public proclamation for Christ until I was 17, all those years prior to that, I was discipled and formed by people who God put in my path. And that could have been a Sunday school teacher, could have been a VBS teacher. Of course, my mom, my grandmother, lots of people were in my world and in my life. And those people were forming me and discipling me way before I even knew what any of that was. And I thank those people. Mostly thank God, because he put those people in my life. And that early formation is just such an important part of really coming to a moment in time when you can proclaim who your Savior is, why you need that Savior, and what that means for the rest of your life. So I was fortunate that all of that took place. But by the time I was 17 years old, there was a bit of a tragedy in my life. My favorite cousin drowned in a canoe accident. That was shocking, of course, as you can imagine, to me and the rest of my family. And it was at that moment that I really started thinking about my life and what would come from it and how finite our time on earth really is. And I look at that situation and think about the fact that that was the moment where I really understood that it was time for me to stand up and to decide where I was going to go. And as a result, I really felt close to and felt committed and felt really, really passionate about my relationship with Jesus. And I was lucky enough to be in a lot of kids groups. We had youth dynamics. We had all sorts of different things that I was involved in after that, which was just a great, again, more formation, more discipleship. And then fast forward, many, many years later, I spent a lot of time working in radio. I spent about 8 years doing that. And at one moment in my radio life, and as happens most of the time with radio personnel, you have a company that comes in and buys the radio station and then kicks everybody out, and they change the format and they bring other people in. And that's what happened to me. I got laid off at a radio station. I was married to my wife, Melissa, who's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. My son, we were 8.5 months pregnant with my first kid. And now it was like, okay, what next? What's going to happen now, God? And I knew then that I needed to find something else, because I didn't want to raise a family in a world of broadcasting where you're either hired or fired every other month or every other year. And I didn't want to be disruptive like that to my family. So I was open to anything. And that's when I got introduced to Logos Bible Software. That was 1993. We had about 6 people at the organization at the time. I left in 2018 when there was over 450 at the organization. So in 25 years, an amazing, amazing career and amazing exposure to the world. Met many, many book publishers, many, many scholars and book writers. My job at Logos primarily was to secure all the books and all the licensing for all the books. So there's about 160,000 books in the Logos library today, and my DNA is probably on 140,000 of those books. And I was really, really fortunate to have just a great, great time there. But what happened in 2018 was a significant event, and that was my 25th year. I went into my boss and I said, okay, I've been here for 25 years. What's next? How can I continue to provide value for you and the organization? And my boss was so honest and so real about things that he answered my question with three options. He said, okay, well, the first thing is you need to get a mentor and it can't be me because I've known you for 25 years. You need somebody else who you can begin to work with, talk to, learn from. I said, that's great. I love that. I'll take that advice. He said, the second thing is you probably need to join a nonprofit board of directors. Because in the nonprofit world, it's so different from the for-profit world that you'll, again, really get new experience, meet new people, and understand new things. And I thought, another good bit of advice. And then the third thing he said to me, and he kept repeating over and over, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do this. But he said, you know, to really learn something new, you probably need to leave the organization and join a new one. And he kept saying, I don't want you to do that. But if you want to learn and you're at the age where you can actually make a pivot and learn something new, you probably could consider doing that. So I really appreciated that advice. I took him up on all three of those bits of advice. I got a mentor. That mentor introduced me to the board of directors for Childcare Worldwide, where I am today. And at that time, Childcare Worldwide had a CEO founder who was 87 years old. And he had started in 1981. His mind was fresh, but his body was given out. And as some folks can imagine, when you're out on airplanes flying all over the world, it's really tough to do that when you're an 87-year-old. So he was getting ready to retire. And I kept, you know, working as a board member, interviewing other people to get the job. And the board members that I was with kept looking at me and saying, well, what about you? And I kept saying, well, wait a minute, I'm the software guy. I'm not a child evangelism guy. I'm not a nonprofit guy. I'm a software guy. And they kept saying over and over again, no, I think you really should consider this. And in my years at Logos, I had many opportunities for other jobs and other publishing houses, other opportunities like that. But there was always a clear no from God. There was always a clear indication of I needed to stay where I was. So when this opportunity for Childcare Worldwide came around, I thought the same thing would happen, that I'm the software guy, God's going to clearly shut this door, and we're going to be done. And that is not at all what happened. That door remained open. He put people in my life, pastors, family, friends, encouraging me, continuing to ask me to pursue and to think about and look at this. And I eventually became a candidate. And went through the entire hiring process with all a bunch of other candidates. They treated me just like anybody else. And I ended up getting the job. And in 2018 of November, I took the role of CEO. And my life has never been the same since. It's been 7+ years. And what I understood at that moment is that God unlocked a piece of my heart. He unlocked a place in my heart for kids and evangelism. And I did not know that that was there. He knew it was there. I didn't. He unlocked it. And now I feel like I'm in my life work. And for 25 years of working at a software company, I can see clearly how all of that was continued formation for me, providing me everything I need to be able to do the job I'm doing now. So that has been kind of the experience I've had with God shaping, pursuing, moving, and directing me to ultimately this place where I can serve him to be a part of Team Great Commission and to play this kind of role for him. And I could not be happier. I frankly have the best job in the world. And it is just a pleasure to get up every day to see what God's going to do next.
Amen. Amen. And that is awesome. So, you know what, Bill, you've obviously had you've made a major transition as you moved out from Logos and then, you know, and then moved into the Childcare Worldwide and working with younger people in evangelism, which is amazing. talk to us more now about childcare worldwide. What is that? Give us some tidbits here.
Yeah, it's a great organization. We've been around for over 45 years. We've started primarily as a sponsorship organization where we had donors who were matched up one-to-one with a child in another country where they could supply help for that child and write letters and have a relationship. Since 2018, we've pivoted to be more evangelistic in our role as an organization working with kids. And what that means is we have a program called Life Center. And Life Center is at a local church every Saturday. We have 76 Life Centers in Peru, in India, in Kenya, and in Uganda. And these local Life Centers go for 3 hours. Every Saturday, start about 9 o'clock, the kids come to the church. The kids have wonderful fun outside, recreation. They come inside, they have praise and worship, which is just such a joy-filled time. After that, they do intensive Bible study, learning about the biblical foundations, the truth, what Jesus means to them, and why they need to make him priority in their life. After that, a little bit more fun, they come back inside and they have a really nutritious meal, which is kind of, for many of these kids, the best nutrition they're going to have all week. And that 3 hours at that Life Center every Saturday is like their little oasis. They come early and they leave late. And it's the one place where they can ensure they're safe, where they can be with friends, and they can learn about their Savior. And I would just wish everybody can experience one Life Center because it is just so much fun. And the kids love it. They are really, really filled with praise in the Holy Spirit. So the Life Center is really our key program that we focus on every single week. We do other mobilizations because kids have needs. And those holistic needs are really discipleship tools for us. So we ensure that when we hand something physical to a child, we tell them where that thing came from. And that came from God. That was a gift from God to them. Yes, God used a person to pay for that, to supply the resources there. But ultimately, it's a gift from him, and it's indication, it's evidence of how much he loves that individual child. So when we send out mosquito nets or mattresses or malaria tablets or maybe even specialized water treatment and things like that, we never give that out without giving praise to God and giving him all the glory that this thing that this child is receiving is coming straight from him. So I have the best job ever. I get to see Life Centers happen every single week. I'm on WhatsApp, so all my Life Center teachers are sending pictures and videos and everything of everything that's going on Saturday. And then we get to supply some holistic needs, which are greatly, greatly deserved and loved and appreciated. And of course, just nothing but evidence that God loves those kids.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love the whole concept. And that's awesome. And you get the centers and all these things. And like I said, kids come early and they stay late. That is always a good sign. That's a great sign that great things are happening. So talk to us a little bit about some of the evangelistic discipleship type of stuff that is being done. Maybe kind of expand on that.
Yeah. My wife, who I mentioned earlier, we've now been married for 35 years. She is our curriculum writer. So she's writing all the lessons for the kids, and the lessons are really biblical foundational truths. We are not spending a lot of time going way off into the different theological issues. What we want our kids to understand is the pure gospel message, and that is that they need a Savior, that Christ came, he was born, he came, he lived, he was perfectly righteous, that he died for us, and as a result of that, we have citizenship in heaven if we are loyal and believe. And that's, in a variety of ways, whether it's through a character study or whether it's through a particular book of the Bible or generating any kind of, information that comes from certain areas of the world and the contextual aspect to it. We are constantly pointing back to Jesus and the gospel message because we have built-in forgetters. And you don't learn this once and keep it. What happens is you learn it and you keep learning it and you keep being discipled so that at some point you can become a disciple. And that's really what we're trying to teach these kids, is that it's not enough to raise your hand to say, I believe in Jesus. That's great. That's a first step. But then what happens after that? We're not counting kids who are raising their hand. If we did, we would have literally every kid in every life center every Saturday raising their heads, hands saying, I want to follow Jesus, right? We're not counting those. We're counting what we can see is truly the fruit of the Spirit and watching that heart change over time. So yes, of course, it starts with walking through the door of saying, yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior. And then it's biblical formation and it's discipleship and it's consistent learning around what that means, so that they can turn around at some point in their life and start being on Team Great Commission as a discipler. And that's really our goal. And now sometimes, of course, the kids are with us for 10 years in the program. They may not make that public proclamation in those 10 years, but that's not our job. Our job is not to save the child. Our job is to seed plant and to be available to God. The Holy Spirit is going to do that work. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does it when that kid is in our presence. Sometimes that happens years later, but everybody is a part of that process. Just like I talked about my Sunday school teacher when I was 6 years old, being a part of the process of forming me and discipling me, the same thing's happening at Life Center every single week. So while we are filled with joy when a child genuinely stands up and makes their proclamation for Jesus, we are not asking them to do that every week. And we're certainly looking and watching for fruit of the Spirit so we can see the Holy Spirit making a change in the life of that child. So it's really about discipleship and it's about formation and it's about teaching these kids so that eventually they can be discipling those who need discipling.
Amen. Amen. And here's a question. So you've obviously have seen some amazing things happen there. Can you, without using names, of course, can you just give us an example of a story that has happened that you've seen something where somebody's life was changed as a result of being
in? Certainly. Yes. We have lots of stories, but there's one that kind of comes out to me all the time. And I still think about it today. There's a young lady. She was very, very quiet. She's around 10, 11 years old at the time, extremely quiet, not wanting to participate much in Life Center, kind of always in the background. And one of my Life Center teachers noticed her. And that's where it starts, right? When the Life Center teacher starts noticing and paying attention to those who aren't the extroverts, that's when discipleship can start taking place. And it took time. This was not a one afternoon kind of conversation. It took time with this young lady. And over weeks and weeks and weeks, she started to open up more and become more present and wanting to involve herself more in what was going on at Life Center. And mom and dad at home could start to see the change. Now, what we didn't know is there was a really, really destructive home life for that child. And dad was mostly drunk most of the time, and mom wasn't paying attention when she should. And the young girl was having those issues back at home. But when the young girl came home and started to change and started to be different, mom got interested. Mom was like, what's going on here? Let me go talk to the Life Center teacher. The Life Center teacher started discipling mom. And after a while, mom started to, you know, change herself. And then the pastor of our Life Center church went to go talk to dad. And the long story short is mom and dad eventually came to be members and committed Christians at that church. And it started because that young lady was sitting in the back of Life Center and our Life Center teacher noticing her and investing time and formation and discipleship into that young lady. She's a different young lady today, and her family is a completely changed family. Now, I'm not going to make Life Center, you know, I'm not going to give Life Center the glory for that. That's all God. God made us available. God made us people in the path, and he used us to get to her, then to get to mom, and eventually to dad. And today, I still visit with that family, and we praise God for all that he has done. So we have stories of transformation like that happening constantly. And it's because our Life Center teachers aren't there just to be there to organize kids, to teach a quick lesson, to feed them and walk away. Our Life Center teachers are there to invest in these kids, and they notice and they see what's going on. And when they do, we watch the Holy Spirit take over. And that's just one example of lots of stories like that that happen every single week at Life Center.
Amen. Amen. Here's the thing, and at the end of the day, what is the key to the gospel? The gospel is a message of transformation.
That's right.
And the transformation is from death to life. You know what? John chapter 3, where Jesus and Nicodemus are having a conversation. This conversation is really a conversation about evangelism.
That's right.
If I was to pick any story in the Bible to truly depict, one story that depicts salvation, it is John 3. That's why John 3:16 is like the most famous verse. But we must be born again. You must be born again. And so what the example you were talking about, and so many examples, is that we have to be born again. They were obviously born again. And you're born in the flesh, and then you're born in the spirit. So I'll go ahead and let you.
And that Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the one that does that work. And then to be standing there and being able to witness that is a testimony for you. It's a strengthening of your own faith to see the Holy Spirit work not only in you, but in others around you. And when you're able to see that, you remember that God is real, that God is doing things, that He's transforming lives every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, and that you can either be a part of that or stand outside of that. And that's why I tell people all the time, they need to think about joining Team Great Commission. You know, when they proclaim Christ as their Savior, Jesus said to them, make disciples. Amen. He didn't say you have to be a pastor to do that. He didn't say you have to be a scholar to do that. You don't have to be a missionary living in the bush to do that. You have to make disciples. Now, what does that mean? It means you're on that team, and that team has many, many, many members and many roles. And sometimes team members are actual people out there on the front lines. But sometimes those team members are prayer warriors. They are at home praying for people who are out there on the front lines. And sometimes those people are resourcers. They're the ones that have resources that God has given them, and they're supplying resources to people who are out there on the front line. But they're all a part of Team Great Commission. And when you're a part of that team, God uses all of those team members to watch and make transformation in the lives of people. And I know that that young lady was transformed by not only that Life Center teacher, but that church location and all those people who loved her and all those people that went to go visit her mom and her dad and the pastor and everybody, because they're on Team Great Commission. And that means they give of themselves, they make themselves available, and they provide whatever they need to provide in God's name. So I just love the concept of being on that team, Team Great Commission, and deciding where you need to be. And don't get intimidated. Don't think you have to go next door and bang on doors to go browbeat your neighbor. You don't have to stand on the sidewalk with a big old sign and, you know, all those kinds of things. You can be a part of Team Great Commission in so many ways, but it's important to be on the team. And that's what I'm encouraging everybody to do, is think about your role and make a commitment to God to be a great team member.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to say this right now, that as we were talking about John chapter 3 and we're talking about being born again, if you continue on in the Gospel of John, it's what you talked about. It's the Holy Spirit does the work. Guess who John talks about what Jesus talked about. He's saying to us, and John keeps doubling down on the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and what He will be doing when He is being sent. He is the advocate. He's the one that will convict our heart of sin. He's the one that will transform us. So that is, John doubles down on that over and over through the Gospel of John. So.
It was like I was talking about our built-in forgetters, right? Because we have sin in our, we have a virus of sin, right? And we have a built-in forgetter. And that's why the Holy Spirit, who's taking up resident in our heart, consistently reminds us of what we need to be thinking about and what we need to be committing ourselves to. That's why I just really think people should be going to church, being under the preaching word, make themselves available to God in being on Team Great Commission, but knowing that the Holy Spirit is there advocating for you. That the Holy Spirit has taken residence. That means the Holy Spirit doesn't go out and kick out and leave and come back. The Holy Spirit's with you. And I love that. I love all that John talks about in his gospel. And I love reflecting that in our Life Center activity each and every single week.
Amen. Amen. Well, quick wrap up here. Make sure you guys check out the website, www.childcareworldwide.org. That is childcareworldwide.org. So make sure you guys check that out. Bill, it's been great having you on the show. And before we go, guys, just a quick update. First of all, check out the God Center concept on Tubu.com. that is being released. We now are doing live lessons. Folks, live lessons. Come join our community. You can get the book, Embracing the Truth, as we will be going through that book. You get to interact with me on the lessons, and we will be doing discipleship. So doubling down on the whole discipleship, this is discipleship. And we're working with anyone that is 18 or over may be on the lessons. You have to be 18 years old, but 18 and older. If you're under 18, your parent must be present with you while we're doing this. Just a quick side note on that. Also, you can check out JesusSaid.tv. If you're right now listening to one of our audio podcasts, JesusSaid.tv, you may be watching this on JesusSaid.tv. So, hey, we're just glad you're here and want to make sure we put that plug in for you. Check out our website at tswrightspeaks.com, tswrightspeaks.com. You can find all this good stuff. We now have a new book that's going to be launched July 10th, God-Centered Covenant, Walking Through Deuteronomy, Chapter 6 through 12. And then, of course, we'll have another book coming at the end of July that will be the second installment of Embracing the Truth. It'll be the second part in that's the God-Centered Concept Discipleship Series. Embracing the Truth is the first. Well, we want to thank everybody for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Thank you for being a part of the show. Bill, I am so glad you came on. We're going to have you back because I have a feeling we can get in some great conversations.
Appreciate it today. God bless you.
You bet. And we look forward to having you back. Well, folks, hey, thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for being a part of this. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation and let the great harvest begin.